Hermit, you're dragging up the rear there, boy. All right. Cassie, does this mean you have children's church? Okay, if all children 4 years old to first grade that would like to go to children's church can meet Miss Cassie in the back. She'll take you across. The rest of you, if you will, open your Bibles up to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read in just a minute verses 8 through 24, 1 Kings 17. Never preached on this passage on Mother's Day before, but as I got to reading this, I thought, boy, that's a really good story and a really faithful mom. Beginning in verse 8, 1 Kings 17, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, as you know, there had been a drought predicted. He said it wouldn't rain for years except by his word. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterwards you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoke through Elijah. Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and her sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death? He said to her, give me your son. Then he took him from her bosom and carried her up to the upper room where he was living and laid him on his own bed. He called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, have you also brought iniquity, calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die? Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's life returned to him. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. Then the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. You know, I want to start by saying this. Mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are custodians. Mothers are nurses. Mothers are psychologists. Mothers are counselors, police officers, chauffeurs, coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. Perhaps most of all, mothers are a link to God. A child's first impression of God's love. You know, in that video, it talked about mothers. And one of the things it said was that life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. For many kids, the manual is the mom, because it's there that they learn about life. An old Jewish proverb says, God cannot be everywhere, so he made mothers. You know, in the book of 1 Kings, we're told the story here of a mother. A mother that was in a tight spot, a single mom with a son, under the kind of economic pressure that so many people face today. Except for her, there was no safety check. There was no monthly check at the end of the month coming in. On this faithful day, as you read the story, she figured at the end of this day, she was at the end of her rope. There wasn't a knot to be tied. She was out of food. She was out of money. You know, as the old saying is, she was so broke she couldn't pay attention. She knew that her life was probably short. She was going to cook one last meal before she died. The prophet Elijah here, that we're told about, he had foretold a famine. God told him, and just like all the rest of the people, Elijah had to find a place to eat. When the drought came over Israel, in the course of events, God told him to go to this widow who would provide for him in Zarephath. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 9, it says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. Now this morning I'm going to talk to you about a mom. I'm going to talk to you about faith. And I'm going to talk about how the two of them go together. You know, what's odd about this woman, here's a woman that we know almost nothing about. The Bible doesn't tell us her name. The Bible doesn't tell us how old she was. The Bible doesn't tell us what lineage she came from. But the Bible says this. She was a servant that God used. You know, when you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read about, you know, all the great men of faith, the roll call of faithful is listed in Hebrews chapter 11. It just goes one after another. You know, the hall of fame for Christians, so to speak, the hall of fame. When you get down to verse 35 in Hebrews chapter 11, and it makes this odd mention that I think maybe refers back to this woman, because it says that women receive their loved ones back from the dead. And I thought about, I wonder if this is not a lady that we're reading about years later because of her faith. Well, Elijah, like the story says, he went as God told him to do. And when he got to the gate, one of the cool things about it is there's this widow. He didn't have to ask around. He didn't have to do a Google search. She was there. God brought them together. He, you know, often if we'll just be obedient, God works out the details. Elijah went. God brought them together. And what he finds is this woman is gathering sticks in verse 10. And Elijah calls to her. And he asks for a drink. That wasn't that hard of a request. Could you get me something to drink? Man, I've been traveling. It's hot out here. Maybe up to 100 miles, it says, that Elijah had gone. So he needs something to drink. He asks the lady for a drink. But then there was a second request, and please bring me a piece of bread also. You know, the first request wasn't so hard. The second request was a life commitment. Because as you read this story, single mom with nothing, she was going to make one last supper for her and her son. If she dies, no one's really going to notice. There's been a famine. She'll just be one of many. But here's what Elijah was asking for. I want you to think about this. You know, we don't raise our hands much in church. Raise your hand out in front of you right now and just look at it. Everything that woman had to live on was right there. That's what she had. This. Almost nothing. And Elijah comes and says, give it to me. What do you do, Mom? It's all I've got. My son is starving. I'm starving. And you want it? That's where she found herself. You know, she has nothing. But what we're fixing to find out is that God's going to use her for great things. You know, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 that says, That is why, for our Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, when I can't do it myself, God takes over. That's exactly what was fixing to happen in this woman's life. When I've got nothing, but I've got God, that's enough. Moms, I want to tell you, sometimes this morning you're going to find yourself at your limits. Physically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually. Life is going to deal you a blow and it's all you can handle. You don't have enough. You don't feel it's enough. You feel weak. Let me say this. When you find yourself in those moments, your children, you'll never teach them until they watch you in action. You'll never teach them to care about others until they see you care about others or see you care about them. If we don't give to the work of God, how can we expect them to give to the work of God? You see, because you are that manual. But it's in those moments when you are your weakest, when you've got nothing else to offer, that God can fill you and give you more, and you will teach more, and they will see more, and they will grow more, and you will grow more than you ever imagined if you're willing that at the end of yourself, I'm going to trust God. And that's where we find this woman in this story. 1 Kings 17, 13, and 14, if you follow along, here's what Elijah says to her. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Go ahead. Cook that last meal. Bake me a loaf of bread first. Let me tell you that faith and trust is another thing that's more often caught than taught. Your faith is passed along to your children, not by what you say to them, but by what you show them. This is crunch time for this woman right here. God is giving her a choice. If you really believe me, provide for my servant first. If you do, you'll not want, because I'll provide. But you have to trust me. Now, I want you to think about this story, because we know God owns everything, right? How easy would it have been for this lady if God would have filled the jars first and then said, now I want you to share with my prophet. Let me fill them up and then you can share. Then you know what she would have said? Oh, yeah. Would have been easy. When life is easy, sometimes we don't have to live by faith, and we grow when we live by faith. God wanted to see some faith here. Mom, sometimes you have to show your faith before God will show His faithfulness. When you show your faith, God will show His faithfulness. Faith is that step between promise and assurance, between knowing what God has said and seeing what God has done. That step that connects them is faith. It's the belief in what is said without the evidence ahead of time. And that's how all the great saints of the Scriptures live. As a matter of fact, you go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2. By it, men of old gained approval. What is it? Faith. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. That's what faith is all about. You see, this was a faith question this woman was wrestling with here. Do you trust me? When you're weak, do you trust me? When you're poor, do you trust me? When you have nothing, do you trust me? She had to step out on faith without even any evidence that the next meal was coming. And now before you start saying, oh, I know, that's a Bible story, and they had a lot more faith than I have, and that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. Let's read carefully. Let's read carefully verse 12 again. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. I want you to catch what she said. As the Lord your God lives. Not her God. So she wasn't this great woman of faith. Now, she does at least acknowledge that there is a God. You can see that. There's the twinkle of possibility. But we know this morning, even the demons believe in God and tremble. This woman was at the crossroads of life. It was a question of faith. Will you trust me? God was going to use her to minister to Elijah while at the same time speaking to this woman about her faith. You move down to verse 15, you see something happens. She takes a step of faith by her obedience. Verse 15 says, so she went and did according to the word of Elijah. Elijah asked for the impossible. He asked for pretty much everything she has. And he asked her to do one simple thing, trust. She's got to give away what she has first. Verse 14, he tried to calm that fear down with these words, thus says the Lord. She is there at the crossroads of life. Do I believe what I see? Do I step out in faith? Can I trust God? This is her choose you this day moment. It's one thing to say you believe, but it's completely another to take action on that belief. You know, if you get right down to it, things like, well, I believe everybody needs to hear the gospel. Then shouldn't all of us be sharing the gospel? You see, not just what we think in our head, but what we do in our life is what matters most. It says the most about what we believe. You have to show your faith before God will show His faithfulness. Elijah says, you trust God, and this bowl of flour won't be exhausted. This cup of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. You want other examples of this? How about Peter? Peter could never would have walked on water if he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat. How about Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho 7 days before the walls fell? David had to gather the stones and go out and face the giant. God could have knocked the giant out without David, but he used David. I'm going to give you one more. You know, the protege of Elijah was a guy named Elisha. Get those two names mixed up if you're not careful. 2 Kings chapter 4. Elisha, a widow comes to him. And the widow had a problem. She was crying. She said, my husband is dead. He followed you. He served you. But my husband died. And now a creditor's come and he wants to take my two sons. So Elisha asked this question, what do you have in your house? The answer was only a flask of olive oil. All I've got is just a flask of olive oil. And so here's what Elisha tells her. I want you to go borrow from your neighbors as many flask jars as you can. You borrow as many flask jars of oil from your neighbors as you can, just empty jars. And he says this, he adds these words, do not get a few. And then he tells her to go back to her house to shut the doors and begin to pour the olive oil from the one flask that she's got. You begin to pour it into these other flasks that you've borrowed. So she and her sons do that. They go to their house, they close the doors, and they begin to pour. And they continue to pour. And they pour some more, and some more, and some more, and some more. Until her sons say, there's not any more flasks to fill. And when she told Elisha, he says, now sell all the olive oil and pay your debts. You know what he was saying when he said, borrow as many empty jars as you can? He was asking this question. How much faith do you have? Because whatever you borrow, they didn't know it at the time, but whatever they borrowed was going to be filled. When he told them, do not get just a few, he was telling them, get ready for what God's going to do because he's fixing to bless you abundantly because you are faithful. If you're faithful with a little, if they went out and got three or four flasks, they'd have got three or four jars. But they went out and they got gobs. And so they filled them all up. The question sometimes in our life, is how much am I willing to trust God? How much faith do I have? You remember the first miracle Jesus ever performed? It was at a wedding, right? A wedding in Cana. They ran out of wine. So Jesus turned the water into wine. Remember the story of the fish and the loaves when they didn't have enough food? They fed 5,000 and had baskets left over. Faith has a way of expanding. If you trust God with the little things, he blesses abundantly. The angel Gabriel told Mary, with God, nothing is impossible. There are times that we need to start there and end there. We need to remember the importance of our faith. We need to believe it. I'm going to tell you this morning, moms, this morning, there are times the devil is going to whisper in your ear and they're going to tell you your children will never come to Christ. The devil's going to whisper that in your ear. Just give up. You've prayed and you've prayed and you haven't seen yet. But let me tell you something. Don't quit praying. Keep the faith. Keep trusting God to fill the jar. Ask God for big things. Expect big things from God. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, who seeks finds. To him who knocks it will be open. That's Matthew chapter 7. Even when our faith takes root, even when we're growing, we feel a, you know, we're seeing God answer some prayers. We're getting closer to the Lord. We're beginning to love the Lord and the things of God more. Crisis may be just around the corner. Look at verse 17. In the story here, the lady had done what Elijah asked her to do. Verse 17, the son became sick and died. Day by day, she had seen the oil and the flour replenished. But the death of her son was just too much. And you can see something. You can see some cracks in this woman's life right here. Verse 18. So she said to Elijah, what do I have to do with you, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance. You know, this was a woman that was filled with guilt. You've come to remind me of all I've done wrong. Let me tell you something. From time to time, the devil is going to remind you of all you've done wrong. He's going to whisper in your ear. You know what the problem is? The problem is you. You're the reason. And she felt in those moments she was the reason that her son had been put to death. Here's what Elijah says. Give me your son. I get the idea in this story, this woman is holding her son, weeping over him and her loss. The last thing she wants to do is give her son up. But she opens her arms. She gives her son to Elijah. He takes him upstairs. Says verse 19, he took him from her bosom, carried him to the upper room, laid him on the bed, and he cried out to God. And guess what? You know the outcome. God hears her prayer, answers, and the son lives. And this moment cements her faith. Verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, now I know Got those words? Now I know that you were a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is true. Up until this point, she clearly had her doubts. But the resurrection of her son changed all that. The resurrection pointed to the truth. And let me tell you something. This morning for us, the resurrection of Christ points to the truth. Easter every day for those who believe. Easter reminds us there's hope. But many times in our life, before we see God's faithfulness, we have to take steps of faith. You remember what it was like? Some of you are younger, just going through this right now. You remember when you were teaching your kids to ride a bike? Shannon's here today. I remember teaching her to ride a bike right out here in front of this church because it's good and flat. We would come out here. I'd hold the back of the bike, and she would pedal, try to balance her a little faster, a little faster. At some point, let me tell you, it happens like this. They get to going fast enough. A, you can't keep up. And B, you've got to let go to see what they'll do. And you know, sometimes the letting go is the hardest moment of all. Because you realize the ride's probably not always going to be smooth. Most likely on those first few tries, there's going to be a crash. And you wonder, what more could I have taught them? What more could I have done? You know, I think a mom can relate to those stories because when your kids drive off or leave for college or they say those vows and they move on, you wonder, what more could I have done? Was it enough? You know, what we see in this story, the great quality of this mom is that she was a giver. She gave all she had. At times, she didn't have much. At times, she didn't have much faith. But this mother, in obedience, trusted God with all she had. And I think sometimes that's all we can do as a mom or as a dad, is we can trust with all we have. We can pray. We can ask God to work. We can realize that where we're weak, He's strong. She didn't have too much to go on, but the one thing she did do, she acted in faith. Moms, if you will act in faith, God will bless with His faithfulness. This mother's faith arrow was pointed up. I hope this morning, moms, your faith arrow was pointed up. That you realize sometimes you may not have enough. You may not have enough energy. You may not have enough time. You may not have enough knowledge. You may not have enough to fix all the situation. But your faith arrow is pointed up, and you're going to trust God to do what you can't do. Because honestly, as we said before, you are the manual for your children. They will walk quite often in your footsteps. They will love like you love. They will care like you love. They will speak like you speak because that's the way God intended it. God intended you to be the guide to show them the faith. This woman's faith, when you read the story, helped save the life of her own child. Moms, dads, you're, a lot of ways, you're the lifesavers for them, especially in the areas of faith. Is your faith arrow pointed up today? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you close to the Lord? Are you trusting God? Are you praying for your kids? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this story of a mom who gave of herself, gave of all she had, and how you blessed her. Lord, I pray that we might learn from that, that we might walk in faith, that we might be parents whose children can see what we do by how we live, that we love and trust you. Lord, thank you for all the moms that are here today, and I just pray that you would bless them in the work of loving their children, loving their families. Some are grandmas now and getting to go through round two a little bit. Use them as a light. Speak to our hearts, Lord, about if there's need this morning, whether to trust you as Lord and Savior, whether to recommit our lives, whether to make changes that draw us closer to you in faith. But Lord, may we listen, may we follow as you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.